Well, hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Booher. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our series we're calling Tightrope. We're going through the book of Esther, and we were talking about chapters 2 and 3 in the book of Esther this week. And it's a lot to summarize. Esther is chosen as the new queen of Persia. She is a Jew, but she doesn't reveal her identity to anyone. She keeps that a secret. Mordecai, her cousin, uncovers a plot to kill the king, and he tells Esther, and Esther tells the king and makes sure Mordecai gets credit for that. And so you kind of see that Mordecai is maybe rising up in the ranks, but then the chapter 3 kind of turns, and we're introduced to the villain of the story, to Haman, who is an Amalekite, and Mordecai, the Jew, and Haman, the Amalekite. These two people have had a feud for a long time, the Jewish people and the Amalekites. I told our folks, it's kind of like the Hatfields and the McCoys, but played out over like 1,000 years. And so you've got these two kind of opposed to one another, and the author is sort of setting up this this battle between the Jewish people and the Amalekites, but really it's representative of the cosmic battle going on between Satan and God, between the forces of evil and God and God's people. And the way the end of chapter 3 closes is that Haman has worked out a plan to annihilate the Jewish people. And the king of Persia has actually, Xerxes has actually signed off on that. And so it's government censored genocide. And that's the way chapter 3 closes, is that the edict goes out, it's proclaimed throughout the kingdom that on a certain day in the future, the Jewish people are gonna be annihilated. And so chapter 4 starts off, if you read on, I mean, the Jewish people are weeping and wailing. They don't know what to do with this information. I mean, it's a tragedy for the people of Israel. And so I told our folks, I think at that point in time, the Jewish people are kind of asking the question, has God abandoned us? Has God forsaken us? Has he finally turned his back on his people? You know, we've been exiled from Israel. Some of us have been able to go back, but largely the people of God are scattered over the Persian Empire. And I'm sure that question is kind of going on in people's hearts and minds, is, has God finally and truly abandoned us? And what the author of Esther is brilliantly sort of bringing into play is the answer is no. Not only has God not abandoned us, but he's already put a deliverer in place. The people of God don't know it, but Esther is the new queen of Persia. They know that Esther is, but they don't know she's a Jew. What they don't know is that they have an advocate before the throne. They don't know it, but they have an advocate before the very throne of Persia, the throne of Xerxes. And so I connected that really to just this wonderful New Testament promise that we have. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. John the apostle tells believers, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin," which would be all of us, right? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is such wonderful encouragement. He says, "If anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." And John looks at the early Christian believers, looks at you and me, and says, man, if anyone sins, in those moments where you feel like perhaps, God, you've abandoned me, or God, my guilt is too great, or in the seasons of just difficult circumstances, you know, has God abandoned me? Or again, is my guilt too great? The answer is no. God has not abandoned you. And in fact, if you've trusted Jesus Christ with your life, you know always you have an advocate before the throne. And not the throne of Xerxes, not a human throne, which today is a pile of rubble, but the eternal throne of God. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, is our advocate before the Father, the righteous one who atoned for our sins. That is, he paid for our sins at the cross. And our sins are forgotten. They are paid. They're paid for. They're forgiven. And we are washed clean by the blood of Christ. And now he advocates for us. And that is such a wonderful promise. to know that no matter the circumstances, no matter the mistakes, no matter what your past is, no matter what you're dealing with in your present, you can turn your eyes toward Christ and you can know and be assured, I have an advocate in Jesus before the throne of God. And I can come before God's throne without fear of condemnation because of what Jesus has done for me. I am God's son or daughter in whom he delights because of Jesus. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a moment here to pray. I want to encourage you to pray for yourself, just to thank God for what he's done for you in and through Jesus. And then I hope you'll join us again tomorrow on the LifePoint Drivecast. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you that we get to call you Father. You are not a distant God. God, you will never abandon us and never forsake us because Jesus was forsaken in our place. Jesus, you took on our sin at the cross. You experienced hell that we might experience heaven. And you took on the wrath of God so that we might experience and have the grace and mercy of God and our sins forgiven in you. And thank you, God, that we have an advocate in Jesus before the throne and your Holy Spirit living inside of us. And I pray for everyone listening right now that you would remind them of that, not just intellectually, but God, they would sense your presence. They would know these things are true and they would see just the evidence of your goodness today in their life. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.